What are the do's and what are the don'ts from a nursing perspective for the early career physician? Learn the answers to these questions and many more on this episode of the Talk to Me Doc podcast. Have you ever considered a different way of practicing medicine? Whether you are burned out, need a change of pace, or are looking to supplement your income, Locum Tenens might be the solution for you. Not sure where to start? LocumStory.com is the place where you can get real, unbiased answers to your questions. They answer basic questions like, what is locum tenens? To more complex questions about pay ranges, taxes, various specialties, and how locum tenens can work for you. Go to LocumStory.com or DrPodcastNetwork.com/LocumStory and get the answers.
Welcome to the Talk to Me Doc podcast, where it's all about serving the early career physician. Let's talk about the unique issues that face us so we can create a better future for ourselves and those to come. And now your host, Dr. Andrew Tisser.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Talk to Me Doc podcast. This is your host, Andrew Tisser. For my returning listeners, thank you so much. For my new listeners, welcome, because today, like on every episode, you're going to hear from the best guests all around healthcare and beyond to discuss issues relating to the early career physician. This week, we have Susan Brooks. After earning her Bachelor of Science in Nursing from the University at Buffalo, as well as the Master's in Science and Executive Leadership and Change from Damon College, Susan entered the nursing world to explore her passion for caring for the sick, providing a compassionate experience, and creating a better healthcare system. Currently, she works as the Director of Patient Care Services for the Catholic Health System at St. Joseph Hospital, where she's focused on patient safety satisfaction for both patients and associates and high-quality care. She spent the last 28 years learning everything there is to know about the healthcare industry, from high reliability to financial sustainment. She's held a number of nursing and healthcare roles, from case manager to program director, but her latest challenge has been helping Catholic Health to improve patient satisfaction and create a safer environment through her contributions as the Director of Patient Care Services. For most people, a nurse leader doesn't sound very interesting. For her, developing and nurturing new nurses is a passion she's been chasing for 28 years. She says she's living the dream. Well, let's get Susan onto the show. Susan Brooks, welcome to the Talk to Me Doc podcast.
Hi, how are you, Andrew?
I'm well, Susan. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Well, thanks for agreeing to come on the show. I really appreciate it.
Sure.
So I already recorded a little bit about you for the listeners, but in your own words, could you tell everybody kind of who you are and what you do?
Sure. I currently work for Catholic Health System out of Buffalo, New York. I am the Director of Patient Care Services at St. Joseph's Hospital. I oversee the nursing departments within the entire hospital.
Well, that's a pretty big job.
Some days it is, yeah.
That's fair. Some days more than others. Right. Can you tell us a little bit more about your background? Like, what were your previous roles prior to taking on this one?
Yeah, I sure can. So I have a many years experience in case management. I actually stepped away from acute care for a couple of years to pursue case management from the payer side. It was that point that I learned a lot about healthcare as far as, you know, payers and reimbursement and really just the structure of healthcare within our country. So it was a great learning opportunity for me. I then stepped back into acute care and I've remained here for many years.
That's great. Yeah, I mean, I think there's so much to learn from every aspect of healthcare, but it's certainly interesting to come back to acute care with the understanding of how case management works. I think that gives you a really great perspective.
Yeah, for sure.
So I brought you on the show today. This show is garnered, you know, it aims to talk to the early career physician about some of the issues unique to them. And I think I hate to say culture because culture is kind of like a naughty word these days, but I think the culture of medicine has shifted in the interrelationship between nursing and physicians. You know, the old, I'm the doctor, do what I say is kind of hopefully on its way out. And we're seeing a lot more collaborative relationships. But what I wanted to do is talk to a little bit about maybe some of the top few things that you think are do not do's for the new physician in regard to their nursing colleagues. How's that sound?
That sounds great. It actually sounds fun.
It is fun, right? So yeah, we could probably talk all war stories too, but So yeah, Susan, so tell me, what's something a new grad, you know, they fresh out of residency, they just got beat up for the last 3 to 7 years in training, and now they're the boss. So what are some things they should avoid as it relates to nursing?
Well, I think the number one don't would be don't fake it. If you don't know something, ask. Nurses are, you know, quite nurturing, and, you know, they're always willing to help. You know, this goes for everything from actual patient care to the technical nuts and bolts of ordering something like an x-ray or using the call light or telephone system. You know, as long as I have been a hospital nurse, I can tell you that if you have an ego that you're protecting, the nurses will see it. A big ego and the person who owns it can get in the way of patient safety, and that's where nurses lose respect for a physician. They are very much about patient safety. And just know that a little humility goes a long way. If you ask for help when you need it, the nurses will bend over backward for you to make your life easier pretty much for the rest of your career.
Yeah, that's great. I've definitely found that to be true. You know, the nurses are not out to get you.
Right.
They really want to help. And a lot of the time, and you know, a lot of the nurses I've run into along my career really are, you know, very much understand like what it is to be a new grad, what it is to be a resident, et cetera. And know that there may be some knowledge gaps there. So I think, yeah, ask when you don't know, that's a great one.
Yeah.
And leave the ego at the door, right?
That's right. Yeah. Second one is, don't ignore your nurse. You know, we're there with your patients 24/7 and the physicians are there for 15 minutes. You really have to listen to your nurse when he or she says something is not right with your patient. And sometimes, you know, even if we can't tell you what or why is wrong, we can tell you that something is going wrong or going really bad with a patient. We get kind of a feeling that's based on experience, and that tells us that something's up. That feeling comes from something registering unconsciously with us, and you know, we do recognize it. And it may be that, you know, the patient's color isn't the same or they're not acting the same. And these are the patients with early intervention, you know, we can sometimes, you know, provide great benefit to the patients. So just, you know, incorporate them into your team. Know that they're a part of your team.
Yeah, I love that. I think, you know, and especially in the ER where I work, if a experienced ER nurse tells me to get into a room, I'm flying out of the chair, right? Because they've seen it all, right? And that applies to any specialty, whether or not you're a medicine hospitalist, whether you're an outpatient cardiologist or whatever you are. We talk about physician gestalt as like, I don't know why I ordered that CT, but it seemed like the right thing to do. Same thing with nurses. So that, yeah, trust. And what's the worst thing that happens? You go to the patient room and they're fine? Okay.
Yeah. That's always the best scenario that you see those. Yeah.
All right.
You're doing a great job leading me and segueing me into my next points too. So,
well, you know, we didn't pre-plan this, so I'm just rolling off the cuff here. So what's number three?
Well, number three is don't just investigate for no reason. You know, you need to have an idea of where you're going. Diagnoses shouldn't be just a stab in the dark. You know, I always tell pretty much anybody in healthcare, always dig deeper. The patient with a broken nose, you know, may well also have a knife in his back, literally. Yeah. You know, seek and ye shall find. Just know that it's not always as it appears.
Yeah, that's really true. And I think it's a good point to bring up that you know, this whole like shotgun medicine approach is, you know, it, sometimes you got to do what you got to do, right? But a lot of the time, like we're taught as physicians, and you are taught, you know, excuse me if I'm wrong, but you're taught as nursing as well, to come up with a working diagnosis list, right? I mean, that's
absolutely
how medicine works. And sometimes you order a test and you get an answer you didn't want because you shouldn't order that test.
Yeah.
That's a great one. That's a great one. What's next on your list, Susan?
Number four I have is don't panic. You know, you really need to stay calm. Don't run around saying that your patient needs this now or that stat if they don't truly need it. You'll get a reputation as a doctor who's crying wolf, and trying to regain that confidence in a nurse is difficult to do. So just, you know, stay calm. If you stay calm, the nurses stay calm and your patient stays calm. And that's just the best, you know, environment to have for everyone.
That's so true. I think I just have a calm demeanor in general. You know, I could be panicking on the inside, but I don't, that's just how I am as a person. And so I've heard that my whole career, like, oh, you're so calm. You're so, you know, I don't like run anywhere because just, I'm just tired and I like to walk slowly, but like, you know, it's always the perception is that it's cool and collected, and that makes everyone feel good. I've heard that from respiratory. I've heard that from all kinds of other staff members that, like, as long, because at the end of the day, we're not talking hierarchy here, but the physician still has to own the room, right? Because everyone has their expertise at every given time, and you got to let everyone do their expertise. But your job in a high stress situation is to control the room. And if you're the one panicking, you certainly will not be controlling the room. So I think that's a great point. Right.
Yeah. And last don't that I have is don't leave a mess. You know, clean up after yourself. Sharp injuries are a horrible thing to inflict on a colleague. And you just want to be, you want to be that person that everyone around you respects, that you are respecting them enough to care for them. And just cleaning up after yourself. I know it sounds kind of a, maybe a little bit of a juvenile thought, but it will mean a lot to so many people around you.
It's funny. I'm sitting here laughing because I always, whenever I have residents or medical students, the one thing, whenever we're doing a procedure, I tell them is, so here's the rule. You can throw anything you want on the floor as long as you pick it up before the nurses see, right? That's my rule. And because, you know, you're doing a central line, you got stuff flying everywhere, clean it up. And it's so funny because it's such a little thing that gets noticed, right? I think I've worked at a lot of different hospitals at this point, and I've been known to be like, oh, that's the doctor that cleans up the mess, right? But that's it's so silly and so stupid, right? On paper. But it matters. It really does matter. Not only, safety, of course, for sharps and everything, but like your nurse has got 1,000 other things to do. The last thing they want to do is like throw away your bloody rags, you know, or whatever it is.
Yeah. Well, nurses become, the everything. They're environmental services. They become the lab. They become, the physician sometimes, the respiratory therapist. So anything you can do to help them is, it'll gain you points.
Absolutely. So I think those are 5 really good don'ts for the new physician. Do you have any like do's? What are some things, you know, I don't know if number one is buying pizza, but that always works pretty well. I think
it does. Actually, we'll get to that. We will get to that one. My number one though is always be a teacher. I've been a nurse for 27 plus years, and my favorite doctors have been the ones who have taken time to teach me. Why did you put a drain in one knee replacement, but not in another? Why did you order Dilaudid over oxycodone? What is it that we're looking at on the x-ray here? It helps me to be a better nurse and a caregiver and a teacher to my patient, and it improves my relationships with other physicians. So best thing you can do, share your knowledge. You know, doctors are extremely smart in so many different respects. And being a teacher is probably one of the best things that you can do for nurses.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I want to add the caveat that in order for you to be a teacher to your nurses, you have to be approachable, right? Because if the nurses are scared of you, or you're the a-hole they can't talk to, or these are the orders because I ordered them, then you're not going to have the opportunity to teach. You have to be able to have nurses or whoever, techs, whatever you're dealing with, come to you and say, hey doc, why'd you do it that way? Then you could teach them. But if they're scared that you're going to bite their head off, then you won't have that opportunity. And that builds a relationship. You know, it builds rapport between you and your nurses. And then your nurses go and teach the other nurses. Especially like I worked in Chicago for a long time, and some of the practice patterns are different from Chicago to upstate New York, where I trained, and then back home again, so to speak. And their things are just done differently. And it's not wrong. It's just a different practice pattern. So I love that. I think that's a great one.
And you're right. You know, the knowledge should be shared amongst everybody, and it just makes everyone's life so much easier. And I had referred to patient safety earlier. It provides a much safer environment for our patients and for each other. So,
yeah.
Number two, I have see the nurses and include them. Nurses are to healthcare what mothers are to a family, and we really are the backbone of a hospital. In order to give the best care for your patient, we need to be a part of that team. And instead of just rounding for 5 minutes on your patient each morning, please take the time to talk with the nurses and find out how your patient is really doing. You know, we understand the clinical, your patient doesn't, family doesn't. And ask the nurse before you leave, after talking to them about the patient, ask the nurse if they need anything, what he or she needs from you. That'll go a long way. It'll save you time later on in the day from them making multiple phone calls to you about other things that they need. It's that relationship building between the physician and the nurse.
And I love these tips because these are five-minute things, right? These don't change your day. They don't change your rounds. They don't change anything, no matter your specialty, right? It takes 5 minutes to say, hey, what else do you need today? And if it's nothing, great. And if it's like, oh, my Tylenol order is going to expire or my antibiotic or whatever it is, that saves you how many phone calls, right? And then it's not, I'm getting bombarded all day by the nurse or the nurses are annoying me, right? It takes 5 minutes, 5 minutes.
Okay. Yeah. Third one on my list is, you know, on your first job or jobs, keep your eyes open as much as you can, your mouth closed. Just watch and learn. You know, you had talked a little bit about culture, but just getting an idea of, you know, what makes a unit or a hospital tick will go a long way. I also tell new docs, don't participate in the gossip or the complaining. Nurses tend to do that when they're around, you know, groups of people. Don't engage in that. You'll find yourself in some sticky situations. And then just knowing that there is something to learn every day. The day that you think that you know it all is probably the day that you want to change careers. Healthcare, like I said, is ever changing. It's complicated. It can be messy at times. So just know that it's okay, you know, to walk away each day and say, hey, I learned this today. Nobody expects you to know everything.
That's right. Yeah, I agree. The gossip thing is huge. That is hard to get away from.
Yeah, it is.
You know, depending on where you're working, like especially in a small ER where I work right now, I mean, the gossip mills are crazy, right? And you're a human being. You want to have conversation, but I agree that will get you in so much trouble. stay away from that. That's great. Great advice. Yeah.
Next one I have is, you know, be respectful to all colleagues of all grades. You rely on that environmental service person that's cleaning your OR or your ED just as much as anyone else. You can't treat your patients if they're not doing their job. And also to the patients and families, you know, they're going through something and you're there to help them. They're coming to you for your expertise and your advice and really just compassion too. And, you know, those families that you run into, those patients that you run into, don't take anything personally. Just constantly and always be respectful.
Yeah, I think that's so. The amount of times, honestly, that a tech or someone else has saved my butt because they noticed something that I didn't. Nurses, of course, that's been, you know, millions of times, but there's been plenty of times that a tech was going in to put somebody on a bedpan or something and noticed a massive decubitus or something that I had missed. But again, if you're not approachable, they're not going to come over and talk to you. So every single person is part of the team and can help you or hurt you, really.
Right. And my last one, which you had mentioned, buy food, sweets, candy for your nursing colleagues. They'll love you so much and they will do anything for you if you do that. It shows your appreciation of them. And everybody knows the way to a nurse's heart is through her stomach.
That's the truth, right? I mean, I think I learned that lesson very early. I remember when I was a resident on OBGYN and we had to get a certain number of deliveries for our training program, but we were there for a month. And I remember I got my deliveries and I didn't really want to be called that many times, you know. So bought pizza and donuts and everything. And then they left me alone all night long.
Right.
But that's the, you know, you start, I think I always tell that to residents coming out. Your first, you start a new job. One of the first days there, just get lunch for everybody, right? Just you figure out how many people there are, get a couple pizzas. It doesn't, you know, you don't need to go crazy here. And oh, the new doc got us pizza. You know, that's, and that's right. It matters. It does.
It does. And they won't forget that. Though I know that nurses that I've worked with for many years, they've been in the profession for decades. They'll remember that doctor. I remember when he was a resident, he bought us pizza. They don't forget.
Yeah. And the other like little thing I've noticed too, is if, especially in the ER, if we're having like a really horrible, terrible day, sometimes if you just go to the administrative team, if you go to the nurse manager or you go to whoever it is and you say, hey, can we get pizza for the team? I'll split it. Oftentimes that's part of the budget, right?
Yeah,
and it's like, we're getting slammed down here. No one can take a lunch. Why don't we just get pizza? I'll split it with you. Sometimes you won't even have to split it with you, but that's another thing, like a little, you know, tricks of the trade, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just have, this isn't a do or a don't, but just to remember, shit happens. You know, you need to figure it out. You know, what went wrong? You need to figure it out with the team so that everybody learns from it. And just don't place blame. Blame doesn't help anyone. And I've learned that. It took me, you know, a long time to learn that. But I work in an organization now that I've yet to hear anyone place blame. Everyone's just wanting to fix the problem so it doesn't happen again.
That's great. Yeah, I mean, you know, and just to jump off that point a little bit as well is if you're having a really bad day or if you had a really bad case, physicians are not the only profession that are burnt out, right? You're seeing severe nursing burnout, especially now post COVID. Like, I don't know if we're ready to say post COVID, but in the COVID era, respiratory is burnt out. Everybody's burnt out. So taking 5 minutes to say, hey, how you doing? That was a terrible case. You want to talk about it? That goes a long way as well. I mean, we're all together in this and we're all seeing the same kind of horrible stresses day in and day out.
Right. Yeah. I love that you said that. Thank you.
Oh yeah. I mean, definitely true. But pizza for sure. Definitely pizza.
Pizza is always good. It's always a winner.
So Susan, this part of the show, I'd like to just get to know the guest a little bit better. So, other than doing such great work for Catholic Health and St. Joe's, what do you like to do for fun?
Well, I have three sons. They're older now. One graduated from college and the other two are in college right now. And my youngest, actually, I've had these conversations with him because he's pursuing medical school. He just finished his first year. So it's exciting, but I do. I go home certain days and I'm like, Jacob, make sure you do this or don't do that. And he gives me the eye roll. So anything with my boys, my husband and I are starting to get a little bit of the, you know, the empty nest syndrome because they're out on their own now a little bit more. But we just bought tickets. The Blue Jays are in town and we're huge Yankees fans. So last Thursday morning, we were trying to find Yankees tickets and we got them. So the whole family's going up soon.
Oh, that'll be fun.
But we do. We love any kind of sport. We're Buffalo Bills fans, Sabres fans. We're through and through. We're still Sabres fans. And we love the Yankees. So we do travel a lot. My husband and I are actually celebrating our 25th wedding anniversary this October. So, yeah, thank you. Still in the COVID world, we're looking at what we can do to do a little bit of travel to celebrate that. So
that's wonderful. Have you read any good books lately?
I love reading leadership books, and my boss gave me a book called No Ego, and I learned so much. I've read so many leadership books, and I love when I can still extract content that I have yet to read. But that book is becoming one of my favorites. I think I shared some of that with what I just said, that it's okay to not know everything. none of us know everything. And I do try and learn something new every day, whether it's in nursing or healthcare or something completely outside of that. I think it just makes me a more rounded person, a funner person, and a better person. So I do love that book. I would highly recommend it to anyone who hasn't read it yet.
Yeah, I don't think I've read that one yet. So I'll add that to my ever expanding list. Yes. That's great. And so, well, you've given us a lot of advice here. You've given us 10 pieces of advice that we could talk about all day. But if you had to give physicians and other health professionals just a single piece of advice for those early in their career, what would that single piece of advice be?
You know, think things through. And I'm telling my son this too, that healthcare is so difficult these days, but it is so rewarding. I know that a lot of people are looking to get into either nursing or to be a physician. It really is one of the most rewarding positions and professions out there. I would say before you are looking to leave, there's so many different avenues in healthcare these days that there's something for everyone. It's the one area, an arena of working that you can pretty much find something that is up your alley. So stick with it. If that's what you, know what you want to do is something in healthcare, there's just so many different avenues.
Yeah, I agree completely. It's all these professional degrees are so marketable in and of themselves. There's so really an endless possibility of things you can do if you're unhappy, and you shouldn't be unhappy. So, I think that's great advice. So Susan, if people really like this content and want to reach out to you or find you, is there somewhere they can find you?
Yes. So I'm on LinkedIn. You can find all of my contact information there. I have my email address. It's simply SusanMBrooks3@yahoo.com or sbrooks@chsbuffalo.org.
Wonderful. Well, thank you again for coming on the show and sharing all these hard-won lessons with my audience. I really appreciate it.
Okay. Thanks so much for having me, Andrew. I appreciate you.
Of course. Thank you. What a great show. Before we finish up, don't forget to visit locumstory.com or drpodcastnetwork.com/locumstory to get real, unbiased answers to all your locum tenens questions. What a fantastic episode with Susan Brooks. It really is great to have other professional experience when it comes to learning what you should do and what you shouldn't do. And as we all know, if you make an enemy out of one nurse, you've lost them all. I'm going to listen to this episode a few more times, despite having good relationships with my nursing colleagues, and I think you should as well. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with at least one other colleague who would benefit from the content. And if you haven't already, leave me a honest rating and review on Apple Podcasts. It really helps get the show out there. The other thing I'd like you to do after listening is visit my website, andrewtisserdo.com/video. That's andrewtisserdo.com/video, where you can find a free, totally free, 4-part video series discussing my struggles from medical student to resident to attending and beyond with burnout and career dissatisfaction and how I turned it around. Within each video is embedded a career strategy tip to help you design your career and life that you deserve. And of course, if you want some direct help, you can always book a call right there on my website as well. Let me know how I can support you. Until next time, everybody, keep talking. All opinions expressed by the guest in this episode are solely the guest's opinions and do not reflect the opinions of Andrew Tisser DO, TalkToMe.LLC, or any affiliates thereof. The guest's opinions are based upon information he or she considers reliable, but Andrew Tisser DO, TalkToMe.LLC, nor any affiliates thereof warrant its completeness or accuracy. The guest, Andrew Tisser DO, TalkToMe.LLC, or any affiliates thereof are not under any obligation to update or correct any information provided in this episode. The guest's statements and opinions are subject to change without notice.